This is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me. Although they live on opposite sides of the continent, acclaimed Scottish-style fiddler Ryan McCassin and singer and guitarist Eric McDonald enjoy each other's music and company enough to have recorded an album, Harbour. While they were on tour with the new album, I invited Ryan and Eric to visit WMUK and play in our studio. Martin Clem was the engineer. Ryan McCassin and Eric McDonald, thank you for joining me here on WMUK.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You guys have your instruments out and are ready to play some music live in our studio. I'm so excited to hear it. What do you think you'll start with?
We're going to start with a few reels, which is a dance form common to Scotland and Ireland. They would dance as groups to these tunes. And they're kind of upbeat tunes. When they came to the States, they became what is commonly known as a hoedown. But we're going to do three reels, the first of which is actually a reel that I wrote for my mother, who recently got remarried after having been a widow for about 20 years. Before I was on the scene, she had been married right out of college for about a year and a half. They didn't get along. They divorced and didn't see each other for 50 years. And then a couple years ago, she, on a whim, just looked him up on Facebook and found him, and he was only living about 3 hours from her. They reconnected and remarried. So I wrote them this tune. It's called Mr. and Mrs. Maddox. That's his name. And then we're going to do a tune by Leo Shannon from my neck of the woods. He's a young banjo player and fiddler, really great musician who lives now in New York. It's called The Cheese Closet. I think it was written on the occasion of him being stuck inside of a cheese closet.
Which still sounds like a fabulous experience to me. I would love that.
It would be amazing to be in a cheese closet. Unless you're lactose intolerant, I suppose that would be.
Well, yeah, that would be a problem. That would maybe be uncomfortable.
My personal preference, I think, would be a wine cellar, maybe.
Mm. But you could put them together if you want.
But maybe you could find a place that has like a cheese closet inside of a wine cellar. That'd be the most amazing combination of cellars, I think. But we're going to wrap it up with a tune actually that Eric wrote.
It's called Trip to Porter. I wrote it when I was walking to a train station in Massachusetts called Porter Square. It's a very deep emotional context for me.
Yeah, that was a very deep emotional story.
Here you go, the cheese closet set. Thank you.
on fiddle, we heard Ryan McCassin, and on guitar, we heard Eric McDonald. And they're here in our studio playing live, just so exquisitely. Ryan, you mentioned these are for dancing, but I think you've taken them to a level where it's sort of the intricacies and the subtlety there is ideal for just listening to what you two are doing. Really nice.
Thank you very much. I mean, we're not dancing to these right now, so we definitely have kind of fashioned them for a listening experience. But, you know, it's funny. Someone said that the other night that they, when we performed, they felt, you know, emotionally charged. And I think that's totally what a dance tune does.
Actually, they said physically charged.
Oh, physically charged. That's what it was, yeah.
Hopefully and emotionally, too.
I thought, you know, these things, that's exactly, they're by design, they are these dance tunes. And it's hard to take them out of that space, you know? But we try hard. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, the other thing is I'm sitting here suppressing just this feeling of happiness and joy. I mean, it sounds kind of cliche, but...
Why would you suppress that?
Because I was afraid to interrupt your recording. Oh. But yeah, one take, fantastic playing. I want to know now, you could share with our listeners how both of you came to play together.
Well, we live on separate coasts, so it was a tricky meeting at the first time. I live in Tacoma, Washington, and Eric lives in Montreal now, but had at the time had lived in, he's from Boston. And we met at the New Hampshire Highland Games because I was there judging the New England Scottish Fiddle Championship. And he was there with, were you there with Cantrip?
No, I was playing with the Brendan Carey Block Band.
Oh, that's right, yeah. And we just happened to be that's a wonderful Scottish festival and traditional music gathering of New England. So anyway, we were in a party house having a good time playing tunes and everything. And that's where the context in which we met. And then it was some time between then and you had a gig with Cantrip the following year, I believe, right?
Yeah, I had a gig with a Scottish trio that I play in, and the fiddle player couldn't make it over, and I needed a sub, so the first person I thought of was Ryan. I gave him a call, and then right before the tour, the other guy in the trio had to back out on the gigs, so it ended up being just Ryan and I as a duo for 4 or 5 gigs, and it was just great. We loved it, so we kept doing it, and that was about 3 years ago. I will say I was aware of Ryan for some time before that. I was actually listening to records that Ryan made when I was in college, when I was in music school. I was listening to the records he made with the McCassins. So there is his reputation preceded him in my case. So
I think you could make the assumption that playing music together is like any other job, you know. You're just collaborating to make something happen. But really what's happening is there's a lot of interpersonal interaction, and you know, you kind of basically are owning a business together, so getting along is actually a bit tricky among musicians. And
yeah, because we really don't get along at all.
Well, I was gonna say, when you find someone that you do work compatibly with, you know, really easily, you really quickly latch onto that, because it's hard to find. So and Eric and I just really hit it off great. So
you started fiddling as a teen? You were entering competitions as a teen, I guess.
Yeah, I started fiddling actually when I was much younger. I was 4 years old when I picked up the violin in the Suzuki method down in Texas, doing, you know, the book one. I was on Twinkle Twinkle Little Star for like 4 years of my life, which is unbelievable. But I basically was completely unprepared for music in my early life. My brain just wasn't ready for it. But my mom was a persistent lady, and she would not let me give it up. And so for the first, I'd say, you know, 8 years of my musical life, I excelled at a very slow tempo, discouragingly slow. And then by the time I was something like 12 to 14, things started to musically click for me, and I started to play... I stopped playing violin because of how much discouragement, you know, but didn't play any more Mozart or Haydn on the violin. But I started playing American Old Time Fiddle, and just this amazing thing happened, which was that when I played the fiddle, this smile came on my face, and I was just happy playing fiddle tunes all of a sudden. But my mom, being the persistent lady she is, she didn't want me to give up classical music. So she had me play viola And so I kept pursuing my classical pursuits on viola and actually did quite well. Ended up doing a bachelor's degree at USC in viola performance, studied with Donald McGinnis. And
he's a legend.
He is, yeah. And he's also four parts Scottish. So it was kind of ironic that my classical teacher was the Scottish guy, you know. And he really appreciated my fiddling, actually. He loved it when I fiddled and would give me opportunities to do that in college. But after college, I was a little weary of the practice room and of what I kind of felt was just this kind of constant pursuit of achievement as opposed to joy. And so I stopped playing classical music and partnered up with my sister, who also had just graduated from music school in harp performance at Cleveland Institute of Music. And we both started touring and playing Celtic music together. She's a pianist as well. And so the rest is just kind of history. I mean, I just kept doing that. And over the years, got better and better at the fiddle. I don't really play classical music anymore, although my appreciation for it has gone only uphill until now. And I regret a little bit that I didn't keep playing, especially chamber music. But time is limited these days.
So. I think I need to turn the floor over to Eric.
Oh, is there someone else in this room?
So, Eric, your path into music.
I come from a musical family. My dad's a composer, and my stepdad's a clarinetist. I don't know what it is about musicians that my mom is drawn to, but she certainly is. And I didn't pick up instruments until later on. I started sort of playing power chords in a band when I was about 16. And then when I was almost 18, I picked up the mandolin. And that's what I did for a long time. That's when I really got serious about music. And I went to, I studied mandolin at the Berklee College of Music in Boston for 5 semesters under John McGann, who sadly passed away a few years back. And cellist Eugene Friesen. I learned a lot about rhythm from that guy. He's a pretty amazing man. And that was sort of what shaped me into a musician. Like, my passion for music went further back. You know, I used to listen to music a lot, and I sort of grew up going to this folk club in the Boston area called Club Passim. Some of you may have heard of that place. It's a sort of, used to be called Club 47. There's a lot of history in that building. So I used to go there pretty much every weekend and just listen. So I was really excited about the music, and eventually it was inevitable that an instrument would end up in my hands. And so I studied the mandolin for 5 semesters, played a lot of sort of bluegrass, and I backed a lot of singer-songwriters and toured on the mandolin for a number of years. And then towards the end of college, I was sort of, I had spent a few years contra dancing and hearing, sort of soaking up that fiddle tune music there and playing for some contra dances. I had a contra dance band. And sort of just wanted to play guitar and sort of stumbled upon a couple players in New England. Guys like Keith Murphy is a name. If anyone's ever heard of Keith Murphy, he played in a band called Nightingale, and he's an amazing dadgad style guitarist. And so he sort of inspired me, and that's sort of became what I was excited to do at home. So that's what I was playing at home, dadgad guitar. And then eventually they sort of eked its way into my projects, and then next thing I know, the mandolin is sitting at home, not being played. So that's sort of, I still love the mandolin, of course, and I actually put out a record last year of mandolin tunes, but dadgad guitar has definitely sort of been the last 7 years of my life. So that's sort of my story there, I think.
Yeah. We're visiting with Eric McDonald and Ryan McCassin here in the studio at WMUK. Their album is called Harbor, and you can find it at McCassinandMcDonald.com. I have some technical questions for later.
Okay.
Maybe it's time to take a break and hear a song, perhaps.
Sure. So as you mentioned, the album is called Harbor, and sort of by chance, a lot of the material on this album ended up being related to water, which is one of the reasons we chose the title. And this is one of those songs. It's a song called The Bay of Biscay, and it's a child ballad. For those of you who don't know, it's Francis James Child was a man who was known for sort of accumulating the quintessential volume of English and Scottish ballads. They're actually not for children. Their subject matter is very dark and mysterious. And this one is a ghost story, and it sort of relates to sailing. So 300 or 400 years ago, if you were a sailor, you would sign up for a 7-year tour, and it was very common for these young men to sign up for their tour, run around, find a young woman, get married, have a kid, and then run away for 7 years. And so, you know, it was a very balanced society back then, for sure. And this young woman would be left at home, sort of hoping that in 7 years her husband would return, would be alive, wouldn't have done horrible things, and would come home. And while there are lots of songs that end happily, I don't really know any of those. So this is one of the ones that doesn't end so happily. It's one where the sailor dies at sea and his ghost comes back to tell his true love he will not return. It's called The Bay of Biscay.
My Willie sails on board the tender, and where he is I do not know. For 7 years I've been constantly waiting, since he's crossed the Bay of Biscay. One night as Mary lay sleeping, a knock came to her bedroom door, saying, "Rise, arise, my dearest Mary, just to earn one glance of your William." Young Mary rose, put on her clothing, and to her bedroom door to go, and there she spied young Willie standing, his two pale cheeks as white as snow. Those blushes I knew long years ago. Oh, Mary dear, the cold clay's husked them. I am only the ghost of your time for me to go. I am leaving you quite broken hearted, for to cross the Bay of Biscay, if I had all the gold and silver and all the money in Mexico, I would grant it all to the King of Erin, just to bring me back my Willie-o.
That's the Bay of Biscay, sung by Eric McDonald with Ryan McCassin on fiddle. And as a duo, they have an album called Harbor that you can find at their website, McCassinandMcDonald.com. They're visiting with us here in Kalamazoo for a limited time. You guys live on opposite coasts, you said, Montreal for Eric and Tacoma, Washington for Ryan. So when you get together, you're probably pretty productive. You're touring?
Yeah, for sure. That's this time we're on the road for almost 2 weeks. Usually it's about at least 10 days. And so, yeah, most of our rehearsal gets done on the road, most of our development and creative time. It wasn't like that in the beginning. In the beginning, we had some expensive creative sessions with plane tickets and stuff. But now that we've sort of we've built some momentum and we have some opportunity, we just spend the time together when we can and enjoy that.
What took you to Montreal from your Boston roots?
Oh, love. My fiance is from there. So.
Is she into traditional music as well?
She is. She's actually, you know, this is funny. The same weekend that I met Ryan, I also met my fiance at the New Hampshire Highland Games. So.
Yeah, she's, you know, part of our circle of friends in the traditional world, especially out in New England. And I remember her actually. I had met her before I met Eric, actually, back in the days when I attended as a kid. Valley of the Moon Scottish Fiddling School, which is Alistair Fraser's camp that he's been doing for over 30 years now in the mountains of Santa Cruz. And, you know, I went to that school with many people that I am still connected with now, and some of which are, you know, fellow performers, one of which is Hanukkah Castle. And Hanukkah and I go way back. We started fiddling together as kids, because we had the same fiddle teacher back in the day in Oregon. I used to drive from Tacoma, Washington, all the way down to Portland for fiddle lessons. It's like a two-hour drive. But that teacher there in Portland was also Hanukkah's. And I have other friends, Alyssa Schneckenberger and Laura Cortese, are both good friends from Valley of the Moon years. And I still see them at Valley of the Moon occasionally.
Are you seeing a lot of fiddlers out there that do have classical backgrounds like you now?
It's always been a little bit of a mix, to be honest. The majority of fiddlers do start with a basic violin beginning, you know, something like Suzuki, or a teacher that is a fiddler, but they also have violin techniques and stuff that they teach. Because, you know, violin and fiddle aren't like in opposition technique-wise. There's basically the same principles at play in playing both instruments. You know, it's all about articulation and the way that these notes are drawn out by the bow. So, and a lot of left-hand ornamentation that you have to slip into these phrases that is a bit of melodic improv. But the basic instrumental setup, I personally don't think that there's much of a difference. Although, you know, you see a broad range of what I consider to be kind of subtle differences. You know, how the wrist is held. Some people in the fiddle world will hold their bow up the bow a bit and only use two fingers to hold it, which I think is a brilliant way of doing it if you're trying to get a particular sound.
Do you think the seat of your rhythm is in your arm, wrist, mind?
It's actually pretty much in my butt, to be honest.
That's like my in the pull hips. Quote right
it's in the hips. I think rhythm is kind of like this body thing that you're bringing to the instrument. That's why I think that, you know, tapping the foot or stomping the foot is actually, it's a big part of playing with groove. I've never met a groove player, you know, what I call a groove player, but what that basically means is someone that's a dance fiddler. I've never met a dance fiddler that didn't use their feet. I'm sure there are some, but not the good ones. I don't know why that is, but making a physical manifestation of the beat in your body, being a bit of a drummer, is just really integral to playing with that groove.
So if you're taking up fiddle out there, be sure to be using your foot as well.
Oh, man, I'm going to get so many emails about that.
And I'd like a little understanding of your guitar technique from you, Eric. You mentioned dadgad, which is how you tune the six strings and give them the pitches, D-A-G-A-D.
Yeah, that's right. The tuning spells out, or the name spells out the tuning. So dadgad. And it's pretty commonly used in Celtic music. So one of the reasons for that is it has three different D strings. So there's a lot of dronal quality. So, you know, when you're playing, you know, Celtic rhythm guitar or dance rhythm guitar, you're basically the whole rhythm section as well as the harmony. So having those drones sort of helps to fill out the sound and gives you a lot of stuff to play with. And so a lot of Celtic players have picked this up. It was sort of a tuning. It was only sort of invented, at least commonly, in the 1970s or 60s. It's 1960s, I would say, but by a guy named Davy Graham. And it's sort of been adopted by loads of Irish players. Michal O'Donnell and Dahi Sproule were both dadgad players. Those are two legendary Irish guitarists. And it's sometimes called, I think I mentioned, it's sometimes called the Celtic tuning. So it really lends itself to the right hand technique that we use, which is a lot of up and down arm motion. It's a lot of heavy rhythmic. When I teach, I like to say there's no wimps allowed in Irish rhythm guitar. So it's a lot of aggressive playing, I guess you could say. And dadgad lends itself really well to that. So.
What are some common mistakes made by people who play folk guitar, say, and can accompany themselves on a Tom Paxson song, but really want to play a jig or a reel?
I think one of the things that happens a lot is you get glued to a measure or a chord chart. So if you're thinking and if you're counting in fours and you're doing block chord changes like that, the Celtic rhythm guitar is often, it's rhythmic, but it's also a counter melody. So what I like to say is it's kind of like a swimming pool and you got to dive in and swim around. Of course, there's still the chords of the moment and rhythm that's important there. But if you're gluing yourself to sort of set changes, then you're going to find yourself limited. So.
And bored.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, what should we hear next?
So these are some tunes that I wrote for my children, and I'm going to play them for you in consecutive order of oldest to youngest. I have three daughters and a little boy, and so the oldest is my daughter Isla Bryn. She's 15, and then Bronwyn Lee, who's 13, and Cora Dines, who's 9, and Roy Michael, who is 5. And these tunes are named after them. Thank you.
That's just brilliant. That's Ryan McCassin and Eric McDonald here in our studio at WMUK. A set of tunes in tribute to Ryan's four children, and set up in a style of like a Cape Breton type suite where you go with a lovely air and then end up with your foot stomping on a reel.
A suite. That's nice. That's a nice way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. It's we traditionally just call it a set, but in Irish and Scottish music, they take all these tunes and they jumble them together into a kind of a quasi sonata form, I suppose you could say. But yeah, thanks for indulging me. Those are tunes for my kids.
I think it's sweet that you wrote those tunes for your kids.
Oh, that's great, man.
I have to say, one of the most effective things I think I see in your playing, Ryan, is in the quieter moments, you're pulling back with your tone and your sound to a whisper, and it just pulls me forward toward you as you take it right just to that intimate sound, and I'm so drawn in when that happens. And then, of course, you can break out into this big, joyous, strong fiddling when you want to. It's great.
That sort of touches on how I always feel like this duo has two voices in it, so. I consider Ryan's fiddle to be like the second lead. You know, he's so expressive with it, and he's so easy to follow.
Oh, man, I can't handle all that. I appreciate that very much. You know, I one of the things I have always enjoyed about the fiddle styles in general is just the broad use of color. Not to say that classical music doesn't have its spectrum, a very large spectrum of color. In fact, Donald McGinnis, my viola teacher, was very much about creating color with tone and stuff. But I will say that it tends to be kind of like this beautiful tone, you know, all the time. And you're forbidden from making any scratchy tones, you know. And in fiddling, like, scratch is just part of the grit that can create a very driving and highly emotionally, you know, or physically charged music. So I love that about playing the fiddle, is that it's such a reactive instrument to the bow. Everything is, it's just so much you can do with it. Much like the human voice.
Well, I guess our time here is coming to an end, and it might be time to hear one last song. But first, I want to thank both Eric and Ryan, both of you, for joining us here at WMUK. And I hope you can be back in Michigan sooner than later.
Oh, we're having a great time. We'd love to be back. Thanks so much for having us. We really enjoyed time with you, Kara.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So what's this new instrument you picked up, Eric?
Well, I've picked up something we were in Indianapolis. We played in Indianapolis the other night, and they have this great music store there called Arthur's Music. And I went in there to buy some strings the other day, and I came out with a guitar. So here we are playing it for you now. This is an electric guitar.
You know.
On our record on Harbor, one thing that we do as a duo a lot is, while we both come from a traditional music background and have studied that extensively, we just try and make music that we enjoy, and we try and not hold ourselves to anything. And so one thing that Ryan was really feeling on a few things was electric guitar. And we argued about it a lot. I was very resistant to the idea, but he sort of turned me over. And on our record, we have a couple of tracks that, and now I'm completely converted. I love playing electric guitar with Ryan. It's sort of a perfect mix. So we picked up this guy in the store the other day, and we've been enjoying playing it the last few nights at our gigs. So we're going to do it for you now. This is a song off of our record called Geordie, and it's another child ballad.
As I rolled out over London Bridge on a misty morning early, I overheard a fair pretty maid crying for the life of her Geordie. Go saddle me a milk-white steed, bridle me a pony, and I'll go down to London town to beg for the life of my Geordie. Thank you. there's six pretty babes I've had by him. The seventh one lies in my body, and I would give up any of them, all for the life of my Jordy. For he never stole, he never slew, and he never murdered any. And he only killed the king's white deer, all for to feed his family. The judge looked over his left shoulder. He said, I'm sorry for thee, my fair pretty maid, you've come too late, he's been condemned already. My Geordie hangs from a golden chain, such chain as never was any. All since he came from royal blood, and he courted a fair young lady.
That was beautiful, just beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, Ryan McCassin and Eric McDonald, thank you so much for spending some time here at WMUK, and all the best to you on your travels and tours, and we hope to see you here again soon.
Thank you. We'd love to be back.
Cheers. Thank you so much.